This morning we are considering the topic of serving Christ according to God's word. Serving Christ according to God's word. And that from Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 to 24. Our focus is on Timothy, who was a servant of Jesus. Yet if we were to read verses 17 all the way to the end of the chapter, we see that there were two other equally faithful servants as well, Paul and Epaphroditus. But like I said, our focus this morning is on the godly model, the godly example of Timothy, a servant of Jesus Christ, the man of God, the young pastor of whom the Apostle Paul spoke so highly. He referred to Timothy in pretty much most of his letters. And he wrote, as we know, two full letters or epistles directed to this young servant of Christ. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 to 16, he exhorted Timothy by saying, "Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. Show yourself an example of those who believe. Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. Take pains with these things, be absorbed in them, so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation, both for yourself and for those who hear you." This is, in a nutshell, the basic definition of an exemplary servant of Jesus Christ. All these duties that Paul just mentioned to Timothy, and of course there would be more, and he did that in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, even to Titus, all these duties show to us this is what it should look like being an exemplary servant of Jesus. And the question to us is, why is it important for us to have godly models? Why is it important for us to have godly models? And we're talking about human examples. You may say, isn't the example of the Lord Jesus Christ enough for us to learn from? Isn't his model sufficient? Can't we just learn from him? And that would be enough. Why do we need other Christians who can exemplify to us the life of Christ through their own lives and ministries? The answer is simple. The answer is simple. While the Lord modeled for us a sinless, impeccable life while he was on earth, yet we live in fallen human flesh. Still, there's struggle in our human fallenness. Hence, we also need other human examples to follow. Those who battle the fallen nature and sin by the power of Christ, these are the very same ones who pattern their lives and ministries after, of course, the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is important for us to follow the example of Christ and those of his servants who imitated him in the way they lived, talked, thought, and served. And to every one of us, this question is applicable. How are we doing ourselves in this regard? Are we being Christ-like examples in the way we speak, in the way we act, in the way we think in our hearts, even when no one is aware of what is going on there? Even if when no one sees what is going on inside of us. But you know, sooner or later, what we think in our hearts will be revealed in the way we live and serve one another. Hence the focus of our discussion this morning, serving Christ according to God's word. Serving Christ according to God's word. So I ask, where do you stand this morning? How exemplary do you think you are? And I think of myself. If God, through the Apostle Paul, was to write of each of us instead of Timothy, what would God say through his servant? I leave this thought with you so that each of us may assess our spiritual progress in all sincerity. Our text is Philippians 2, 19 to 24. Philippians 2, 19 to 24. The Apostle Paul writes, "But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. But you know of his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel, like a child serving his father. Therefore, I hope to send him immediately as soon as I see how things go with me, and I trust in the Lord that I myself also will be coming shortly." In these verses, the Apostle Paul describes five characteristics about Timothy, which made him an exemplary servant of Christ Jesus. Five characteristics about Timothy, which describe Timothy as a faithful model example, exemplary servant of Christ. These characteristics, these traits must be present in every child of God. Of course, it is primarily directed to Timothy and men like him. Yet we are all servants of God. We are all servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, and not just some of us who are involved in full-time ministry or even church leadership. First, look at verses 19 and 20. A first characteristic about Timothy, which made him an exemplary servant of Christ, is this. Timothy was like-minded with Paul regarding the cause of Christ. Timothy was like-minded with Paul regarding the cause of Christ. That's verses 19 and the first part of verse 20. Paul writes in verse 19, "But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition." The Apostle Paul had a special relationship with the Philippian church. This congregation was dear to him and loved them in Christ. In fact, he said of them in chapter 1 of Philippians, verse 7, that he had them in his heart. He had them in his heart. This is a wonderful testimony from the Apostle Paul about this church. This tells us that Paul enjoyed a sweet Christian fellowship with the brothers and sisters in Philippi, and he cherished their friendship. But since, as we know from the epistle, he was in prison for the sake of the gospel of Christ. He was not in prison because he was an evildoer or a wicked man. He was in prison for the sake of the gospel, because he was preaching the gospel. That's why he was placed in detention, in prison, in a house arrest, as we know of it from Acts chapter 28. That was the first time he was in prison in Rome. That was a house arrest. Basically, he was even paying for it. So he was there. But then, as we know later on, when he writes 2 Timothy, that was the second and last imprisonment that we know of Paul in Rome, and after that, he was beheaded for the glory and the cause of the gospel of Christ. So Paul was in imprisonment, and he was not free to go and to see the Philippians in Philippi. That's why he had made up his mind to send Timothy to them. He chose to send the very person who was ministering to his needs while he was in chains for Christ. Notice this. He did not reason to himself by saying as such, "Well, I'm in chains here for the Lord and for the cause of the Lord's people. I'm doing my best to serve Christ, and it would be so good to have all the help that I need. And if I send Timothy, who's going to serve my own needs. You see, Paul did not reason as such. He did not think so. He never thought of himself primarily. Instead, he thought of the Philippian saints more. And he loved them so much that he wanted to send them Timothy to check on them, to check regarding how they were doing, especially in the Lord. He says, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly." He cared to know about the progress of their faith. That was so important to Paul, even in his imprisonment. Now, what does he mean he hopes when he says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly? Is he saying that he is hopeful that he may or may not send Timothy to the Philippian church? Is this what he means by what he says? No. How do we know this? Because he says he hopes in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy. It's not like sometimes we say, "I hope I'll come tomorrow." Well, he says, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy." Everything the apostle did was tied to the will, to the sovereign will of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was not a man who had confidence in his ability in human power, as if we have any control over our life's circumstances. What he meant is that if the Lord Jesus willed, he, the Apostle Paul, would send Timothy to the Philippian church so that through Timothy, he would come to know how they were doing spiritually. Because he says that I may also be encouraged when I learn of your condition. He's not going to send Timothy just so that he would know about they're doing healthy, they have jobs, their families are well. Of course, that's part of it. But we know better. We know the apostle's heartbeat. We know what he wanted to know as his children in the faith, as far as in the way he had ministered unto them, and he had been instrumental in establishing that church. His heart wanted to know how my children in the faith were doing in Philippi. And it's been a while he hadn't seen them. It's not like today we have our phones and we text each other, we call each other, and at least we can know, okay, how are you doing? How is your walk with the Lord? All that is okay, but not in those days. Sometimes it could take weeks and even months until news could come back. And Paul decides to send Timothy, not just anybody, but Timothy. He wanted Timothy to go so that he would come to know how they were progressing in the faith. One commentator writes this, and I quote, he says, "As always," referring to Paul, "his plans were subject to the will of God. Therefore," he stated, "I hope in the Lord Jesus." The expression was not simply tacked onto Paul's statement, nor was it an escape clause in case the plans did not materialize. Rather, Paul naturally thought in terms of commitment to God's will. And the expression disclosed the principle by which he lived his life. End of quote. It's a wonderful statement, because that's how we ought to live. And that's how Paul lived. When he said, "I hope," he said, "I hope in the Lord Jesus. I hope in the Lord Jesus." He trusted in the will and the power of Christ for the fulfillment of his plan in sending Timothy back to see how the believers in Philippi were doing. The apostle hoped in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to Philippi, it says, shortly, soon. How soon, we don't know. Whatever he still needed Timothy for is not indicated for us to know. Why? Because in verse 23, Paul tells his readers, if you look in verse 23, he tells his readers that he hopes to send Timothy immediately, as soon as he sees how things go with him. It is possible that Timothy had to perform some other things, some other duties for Paul, as related to Paul and to the proclamation of the gospel in Rome, before Paul could allow him to leave, and that according to the will of Christ. Paul was clear in his purpose for sending Timothy to Philippi. You see, Timothy was not being sent to Philippi for some time off from the ministry or for some vacation. No, he was coming from Paul to find out how these saints were doing and how they were progressing in their walk with Christ. Paul said this knowledge, that is, would encourage him when he learns of their condition. The verb translated maybe encouraged means to be heartened or be made glad. Paul wanted his heart to be encouraged, to be made glad. What a man. What a man the apostle was. Finding out how well other believers were doing would cause him cheer, gladness. Does this describe us? Does this describe each and every one of us? Or do we care less in how other brothers and sisters are doing in the faith? Because sometimes we get so much caught with our own challenges, spiritual challenges and struggles, the fight against the flesh, the war against sin, that, you know, even we may forget to check on our brothers and sisters and ask the simple question, how are you doing in the Lord, or praying for them? Look, we don't need to point the finger to anyone, because we are all guilty in this. If not now, maybe we've been before, or maybe we'll be tomorrow again. But let's remember this. We're not islands. We're not by ourselves. I owe to pray to you, for you before God, and you owe to pray for me and for each other before God. That's how we keep on being strengthened in the faith. And even one check, one word, one statement, brother, how are you doing in the Lord? You know, it may be sounding a cliche statement, a cliche question, but it's important. Sometimes one statement like that, one question like that will reinvigorate, will encourage the person who is hearing what you're saying, because as we shall see, it will show care. It will show concern, just like Paul will speak of Timothy in our text. More about that shortly. The apostle was clear as to why he was sending Timothy to Philippi. He was coming from Paul to find out how they were doing and how they were progressing in their walk with Christ. And this would encourage Paul. Timothy shared with Paul the same attitude. He was like-minded with Paul. He shared the same attitude with Paul regarding the cause of Christ. It says in verse 20, "For I have no one else of kindred spirit." I have no one else of kindred spirit. What does Paul mean by this statement? He means that Timothy is similar to him. He and Timothy are of the same mind, and they share the same ministry purposes and goals. Kindred spirit literally means like-minded. Like-minded. As it says it in the King James Bible. The NIV says, "I have no one else like him. I have no one else like him." This was Paul's wonderful commendation of Timothy. It's a wonderful way of describing a fellow soldier of Christ. In your experience, think about it. In your experience of the Christian life, have you had the privilege of knowing certain brothers and sisters in Christ about whom you could say, you could even boast that you have no one else who is like-minded, no one else who is like him or her? That would be such an encouragement to you when we know of such people around us. Timothy shared Paul's heart for the gospel. He shared Paul's heart for the cause of the proclamation of the gospel of Christ. Timothy was like-minded with Paul in his passion to see God's people flourish in their faith and to witness sinners come to know the Savior's love. That is basically why he opted to accompany Paul in his latter missionary endeavors. Why? Because Timothy understood Paul's heartbeat. He acted like him. He thought like him because he learned from him. And he preached the gospel Paul preached. And I hope that we can say the same with Paul about some of our closest Christian friends. And then the simple question in reminder to every one of us is, are we like Timothy in this regard? The story says that an American who was walking down the streets of a Chinese city was greatly interested in the children, many of whom were carrying smaller children upon their backs and managing at the same time to play their games. It is too bad, the American sympathetically said to one little fellow, that you have to carry such a heavy burden. Of course, he's referring to the fact that he was carrying his own little brother. And then he's trying to also play at the same time. And the quick reply came, he's no burden. He's my brother. Well, the man said, you are chivalrous to say so. And he gave the boy some money. When the American reached home, he said to his family, a little Chinese boy has taught me the fullest meaning of the words, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. He recounted his interview, so he told the story of what happened and added, if a little Chinese boy can carry and care for his brother and refuse to consider him as a burden, surely we ought not to think it a burden to carry our little brothers, the weak and needy ones who look to us for help. Let us rejoice, the man said, as we carry one and say, by our actions, he's no burden, he's my brother. Such an attitude characterized Timothy. Serving the believers was no burden to him. He did it cheerfully and willingly. Why? How do we know this? Notice what else is said of him in verse 20, in the second part of verse 20. A second characteristic about Timothy, which made him an exemplary servant of Christ. Timothy truly cared for others. Timothy truly cared for others. Again, it says, verse 20, for I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. Who will be genuinely concerned, who will genuinely care for your welfare. This is a characteristic which Timothy demonstrated as an exemplary servant of Christ. Not only he was like-minded with Paul regarding the cause of Christ, but he also truly cared. There is a caring, but there is a care which is in truth. He truly cared for other Christians. And these are foundational descriptions, foundational portrayals of a true model, of a true example of Jesus Christ. Timothy had the heart of a servant. He was available for Paul to use him and send him on a mission of discovery, to discover the well-being of the saints in Philippi. He did not worry about the dangers of the road or the hardships of travel. All he cared was to serve God's people. Paul says, Timothy's concern was real because he says he was genuinely, that is sincerely, truly concerned. He was sincerely caring for, he was sincerely anxious for, he was sincerely worried about the welfare of the Philippian saints. This is the kind of servant of God which will become a blessing, who will become a blessing to God's people. People realize from our discussions, postures, attitudes, if we are truly concerned, if we truly care for them. And that is what we must do. We must not let others think our words of concern are a shallow formality. When we say, God bless you, I'm praying for you, I'm concerned about you, it shouldn't be just a formality. We could do that, but we must not do it so. We must be genuine, sincere, in truth, be concerned for each other, the welfare of each other, especially spiritually. We must not let others think our words of concern are just words. They should feel that the care shown is true, that it's genuine. This is what must characterize every one of us. We shouldn't say we don't have the time, we don't have the energy in doing as such. We certainly, cannot reach all the world, but we can surely demonstrate Christ-like care and concern toward our immediate family members, close friends, church, of course, church people, and even toward many members of our community. This is what it means to be genuinely concerned for the welfare of people. In his book, titled 70 times 7, The Freedom of Forgiveness, David Augsburger tells of General William Booth. You may know him. He was the founder of the Salvation Army, who had lost his eyesight. His son, Bramwell, was given the difficult task of telling his father there will be no recovery. "Do you mean that I am blind?" the general asked. The son replied by saying, "I hear, we must contemplate that." And then the father said, "I shall never see your face again?" "No, probably not in this world," said Bramwell. And then General Booth said to his son, "Bramwell, I have done what I could for God and for his people with my eyes. Now I shall do what I can for God without my eyes." This is the kind of selfless attitude that Timothy showed. He thought of others, just like William Booth. He could have said, "My job is done. I've served the Lord all these years. What can I do more if I have no eyesight?" But he said, "You know what? I'm going to still serve God." And of course, serving God is never apart from serving God's people. You can never say, "I serve God and that's it, you're done." Serving God is never apart from serving God's people specifically and people in general. And this is the type of selfless attitude which Timothy showed, which he exemplified. He thought of others more than he thought of himself. And this brings us to our third characteristic by which Timothy modeled Christ as a servant of Jesus, as an exemplary servant. A third characteristic about Timothy, which made him an exemplary servant of Christ, is this: Timothy sought the interests of Christ more than his own. Timothy sought the interests of Christ more than his own. This is derived from Paul's words in verse 21. It says, verse 21, "For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus." Not those of Christ Jesus. When other believers cared for their own interests, Timothy cared for the interests of Christ. And it included genuinely caring for the Lord's people and their needs. But who are these others of whom Paul spoke of? Who are these others who only sought their interests and with whom Paul contrasts the precious character of Timothy himself? Probably these were those of whom Paul wrote in chapter 1 that they were preaching Christ because of other motives. If we were to look at chapter 1 of Philippians, verses 15 to 17, we see that there were those who preached Christ from wrong motives. So it's possible that Paul could have been speaking about such people. Personal motives are contrary to the will of God, even in ministry. And these people who are mentioned in chapter 1, verses 15 to 17, most probably they were believers, if not all, at least most of them, because he doesn't identify them. He doesn't say some of them were false teachers, some of them were believers who were compromising their walk with Christ. He doesn't say. All that we know, there were those who were proclaiming Christ out of selfish motives in order to make the Apostle Paul feel pain even in his imprisonment. So Paul could have been referring to those when he says, "For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ," not those of Christ Jesus. But Timothy was unique and different from these guys in every good way. Paul is saying everyone else was looking for their own interests, not of Christ Jesus. It is a sad day when Christians care only for their own interests rather than the Lord's and people. This should cause us to wonder how, as believers, we can live as such and yet experience the saving grace of God. How can we? How can we consider ourselves Christians, saved and sanctified, when all we care is primarily ourselves or about ourselves, not about the cause of the Lord and His people? When Paul writes, "For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus," what he implies is that true believers must first seek the interests of Christ's people rather than their own. This interpretation is driven by the preceding discussion, as we mentioned in chapter 1, verses 15 to 17, regarding those who sought their own gain even in ministry. Christ is concerned for the well-being of His children. And if you and I serve His children, if you and I serve God's people, then we will have served His interests. You see, this same principle is found in Matthew 25, verses 34 to 40. In Matthew 25, verse 34 and on, it says this: "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" Of course, the king is the Lord Jesus Christ. "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' The king will answer and say to them, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me.'" You do it for God's people, you do it unto the Lord. Timothy was such a man. Timothy was a man who had the interests of Christ at heart, the kind of interests which cared for the Lord's people. He did as the Lord would have done for his own in similar situations. His priority was meeting the needs of God's children. That's why Paul was willing that he could send Timothy, because he was such a person who was dependable, that he could send him, that Timothy would have gone all that distance, traveled all that road until he could reach Philippi. It's a big distance from Rome all the way to Philippi. And for him to go and eventually to come back to report back to Paul as to how the believers are doing. And that also shows to us that Paul was like Timothy, like-minded. He was not selfish. Paul, in his imprisonment, could have said, "Lord, cut me some slack. You know, I'm in trouble here. Why should I worry about all these other churches and all of God's people everywhere?" But that was Paul. He was called as an apostle. That was part of his, not just his responsibility, but it was part of his DNA, his heart. And his heart was a caring heart, a heart which was concerned about the welfare of God's people. And it shows here in the way he commissions Timothy to go in order to check on the welfare of God's people in Philippi. Number four, look at the first part of verse 22. A fourth characteristic about Timothy, which made him an exemplary servant of Christ. Timothy proved himself as a godly man. This is a fourth characteristic about Timothy. Timothy proved himself as a godly man. In verse 22, it says, "But you know of his proven worth." But you know of his proven worth. The Philippians knew from experience. Look, Paul is not saying, "But I know." Of course he knew the proven worth of Timothy. He's saying to the Philippians, "But you know of his proven worth." They knew from experience that Timothy was a man of godly personality, a man of godly character. Timothy had proved himself over time that he was reliable, faithful, and a caring servant after whom they could model their lives. To begin with, as we know, he was truly a blessing to Paul. Paul's depictions of the character of Timothy are evidence of his admiration of this young man of God. The noun translated proven worth means that Timothy had stood the test and proven his character or value. What a wonderful testimony is this of Timothy by the Apostle Paul. Every one of us would have loved to have had such a testimony by a dear apostle of God. That if God's word says so through the apostle, if God's inspired word says so through Paul, that Timothy was a man who had proven his worth. What else could be said of such a man of God? Yes, we know. We know from our readings of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy how Timothy had his own struggles when he was ministering full-time in pastoral ministry. Well, whatever else he was doing in life, we don't know, but at least he was in ministry. But yet, it does not stop Paul from describing Timothy as a man who had proven his worth, that he had stood the test, that he had showed that he was a man of character, was a man of value. He had proven himself. And because he had proven his worth as a partner in ministry to Paul, now the apostle could commend him to the Philippians as he was about to send him to them so that he could also be of service, not just to Paul, but also to the saints in Philippi by going and checking on them and encouraging them and being encouraged by them and to bring back the news to Paul himself. Could this be said of us? Could this be said of us? If Paul was here, just imagine in the theater of your mind, if the Apostle Paul was sitting here, could he boldly say so? Could he boldly proclaim that in the way he's doing it for Timothy, that we have proven characters? That is, can he see in us enough of the gracious work of God in progressive sanctification to be able to commend us to other believers? Could Paul say so-and-so from Evangelical Baptist Church seeks the interest of Christ? And I know that he or she can also be a blessing to you if you spend time with that person. Beloved, this is exactly the kind of congregation we must become. This is exactly the kind of people we must desire to be. We seek to honor Christ. Yes, that's what we do. We seek to serve Christ, and we do that by His grace. But how can we honor and serve Him if ever we come to primarily seek our own interests above those of other brothers and sisters? Timothy was a proven man of godly character, and we too must endeavor to become like him. There's one last trait of an exemplary servant of Christ, starting with the second part of verse 22. A fifth characteristic about Timothy, which made him an exemplary servant of Christ, is this. Timothy humbly served Christ as Paul's associate. Timothy humbly served Christ as Paul's associate. It says in verse 22, "But you know of his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel, like a child serving his father." Timothy's worth to Paul was not only seen in his selfless outreach to others, but also in his service to the Apostle Paul. He served with Paul. Actually, that verb literally can be translated, he slaved with Paul as a child would serve his father. Although we know Timothy was not Paul's own son in human flesh, neither was he directly saved through Paul's ministry, because by the time Paul met him, he was already a disciple. We read of Timothy in the book of Acts. Nevertheless, Timothy had proven his worth to Paul in the way he had also humbly served him as they proclaimed the gospel together. Please understand that Paul's commendation of Timothy is tied to his role as an associate of Paul in the furtherance of the gospel of Christ. Timothy had served Paul as a child would due to his father. Paul had discipled him. Yet Paul makes it clear in the way he says it that Timothy's primary commitment was to the gospel, to the furtherance of the gospel of Christ, and not just to Paul. Surely he loved Paul. Surely he cared for him and his needs sincerely. However, his main objective in caring for the needs of Paul was so that the Lord's work may go forward. And in the process, he greatly supported the apostle. As Paul's associate, he was content to serve the Lord and his apostle. Timothy humbly acknowledged Paul's role as the primary one, and he filled where Paul needed him. No jealousy. There was no contention. And no envy of Paul like some of those mentioned in Philippians 1:17. He humbly served Christ and his apostle with full contentment and joy in spite of challenging circumstances. During World War II, England needed to increase its production of coal. Prime Minister Winston Churchill called together labor leaders to enlist their support. At the end of his presentation, he asked them to picture in their minds a parade which he knew would be held in Piccadilly Circus after the war. First, he said, would come the sailors who had kept the vital sea lanes open. Then would come the soldiers who had come home from Dunkirk and then gone on to defeat Rommel in Africa. Then would come the pilots who had driven the Luftwaffe from the sky. Last of all, he said, would come a long line of sweat-stained, suit-streaked men in miners' caps. Someone would cry from the crowd and say, "Where were you during the critical days of our struggle?" And from 10,000 throats would come the answer, "We were deep in the earth with our faces to the coal." The basic point derived from this story is this: not all jobs in a church are prominent and glamorous. But it is often the people with their faces to the coal who will help the church accomplish its mission. We can safely say that Timothy was such a man. His face was to the coal, yet he knew that his work was very important to Paul and to the advancement of the gospel of Christ. Are we like Timothy? Are we like Timothy in this regard? Or do we envy others in the church? You know, envying the ministry, the gifts, the accomplishments of other children of God is sinful. We must do like Timothy, humbly serve Christ as we support his servant leaders so that the gospel of Jesus can advance in our midst and through us. Paul concludes his commendation of Timothy as an exemplary servant of Christ by saying, verse 23, "Therefore I hope to send him immediately as soon as I see how things go with me, and I trust in the Lord that I myself also will be coming shortly." Timothy was always ready to be used by the Lord in serving others. He was a true servant model of Christ. And this is exactly what we must do. We may not be pastors like Timothy, but there are a lot of reasons from the text we went through this morning to encourage us that every one of us must strive to learn from the example of God's servant, Timothy in this case, and to be like him. Because none of the things we said are only applicable to pastors or to elders or to deacons. No. Every believer must learn and imitate the example of Timothy, the godly example, the Christ-like example of this true servant of God. May the Lord help us to become better exemplary servants as such. Like Timothy, who was a man of the same mind with Paul in his mission and passion for the furtherance of the gospel, a man who cared for others. And by doing so, he demonstrated that he cared for the interests of Christ Jesus, because caring for the needs of others, for the things that others need in order to grow in Christ, is to show that we care not only for the cause of Christ, but also for Christ himself. Timothy proved himself to Paul and to all the saints that he was a humble man of Christ-like character, a true team player of the gospel of Jesus. This is how we serve Christ, according to God's word, according to its requirements and expectations. May God raise more Timothys in our day. And may He do so for the glory of His name, for Christ's sake. Amen.